listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 17th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so for tonight's topic, we're going to be discussing prophetic dreams and dreams of warning. And
maybe before we start, we can send out some birthday wishes.
I was just going to say, We also have some birthdays coming up today. And I know, Dr. Hunter, it's your daughter's birthday, if I'm not mistaken.
It is my second daughter. Yep. I think we've got Sherry in the chat. She says her daughter's birthday. Wendy's got a son that it's his birthday. Oh, those February babies. But
there's a lot of February birthdays. I can tell you from experience, I sent a lot of cards out this month.
Dr. Kelly's birthday was the other day, everybody.
It was.
Did you have cake and stuff, Michael?
Oh, we were a little modest. We had a nice dinner, but I don't think we had a cake.
No cake.
Although some very delicious chocolates.
Well, my eldest daughter, she's February 1st. She's not a big cake girl, so she got a big apple pie. And unfortunately, I couldn't be in Arizona this year for my second daughter's birthday, so she just got presents through Amazon that I sent 2 months ago to make sure they arrived in time.
Christmas taught me some lessons about Amazon gift sending that, you think it's going to arrive on time, but it arrives January 14th instead.
I know. That's right. It's happy birthday to everybody in February. That's awesome. And, I might also say for all you folks who, are in these terrible weather places, we're sending energy. I have been watching the pictures on the news, and Texas especially, of course.
Yeah.
You don't have power, so I know you're not listening to the show tonight, but we have...
It could be on the cell phones.
That's true. We have students who have been through, a lot of big weather stuff recently.
Oh, yeah.
And, we're thinking of you, everybody. So.
Absolutely. We're in our thoughts. And, it's unprecedented, which is, unusual. These places are just unequipped to handle this kind of snowfall and these kind of temperatures on a normal basis, which... Unfortunately, we've been talking about this more and more often of recent years, And it's unfortunate that we're seeing more and more, you know, weather events. Yeah. We've talked about hurricanes, these storms now, and this is something that we will, you know, weather, no pun intended, and we will, you know, be okay. We're always going to make it through it, and our ingenuity is remarkable. And going back to our topic, we're going to be getting into some other remarkable aspects of the human experience and, you know, the mystery of our dreams and how they can be prophetic, how they can be warnings at times. And I appreciate Wendy said in chat, I'm feeling all right. A lot of pollen in the air around here, so I can hear it too. A little nasally, you know, sometimes. But you just feel like you're talking like this. And, no, I sound adorable. I'm fine. I don't have a cold or anything at all.
Actually, Michael had a bit of a sneezing frenzy before we went on air.
But thank you for the well wishes. I'm feeling okay. Just some pollen, sinuses, and stuff like that. But
yeah,
had a prophetic dream about this very scenario, I could have picked up some allergy medicine on the way home.
Ah, there you go. But you weren't so intuitive
today.
You know, there's a big difference, I think. This is kind of part two or three to previous programs that we've done on dreams and intuition and such. But there's a big difference between our fear warning dreams versus actual warning dreams that are to be heeded. And I think we have to, you know, really keep that in mind. And how we interpret what we're sensing. So, but let's back up for a minute. A prophetic dream could be a warning dream. A prophetic dream can also be a good, you know, foreseeing of events. Mm-hmm. Prophetic meaning to prophesize, to know ahead of time. And when it comes in the unconscious and through the dream time, it generally comes in ways that are symbolic, are metaphorical, if you will. But again, just to preface before we get into this, dreams can be many things. We've said this before, so if this is the first time you're joining us, I have to go over it again. Hopes, fears, wishes, but it can also be alternate dimensions. It could be collective unconscious that you're picking up on. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things. So dreams, we have to approach them very carefully and in a way generously. Generous meaning lots of possibilities. So Michael had asked me before the program if I had ever had prophetic dreams, and absolutely. I've had a lot of visions too, like day visions that can be considered a, you know, daydream, but I've had many. The thing about the prophetic dreams I've had, when you have them, you're not really sure it's a prophecy. It's like something, you just feel it and know it, but where is it happening and how? And you can't know. I had dreams back in, I remember it clearly, in the early 1970s, that I'm only seeing happen now. I said, I dreamed that how many years ago?
Yeah.
So you can't really control them.
I've had eerie moments like that wherein I have a moment that's more powerful than deja vu. It's not simply that I've lived this. I've seen this. I've dreamed it. I remembered it being a dream. And, you know, it's faded, and it's, you know, been many years, but it just clicks again, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that now. And it does me no good, because I don't remember the dream well enough to, and usually it's a rather mundane thing or a conversation. Rarely in my case has it been something that, you know, truly dramatic or a pivotal moment in my life. So if I am picking up on some kind of intuitive wave or Akashic record link, I am getting useless information to date, so I can claim none of the, you know, almost eerie accuracy, Dr. Hunter, that you've been able to show.
I'd like to share, actually, one of the most profound things that is only I'm watching unfold now, if I may indulge here. Back in the mid-1990s, I have a lot of indigenous friends, and one of the late medicine men, Dennis Lightning, we were friends at that time too, and so we'd have lots of visits and things. But I had had a dream. I was in the mountains, and an old Indian man came to me and taught me how to play this little tune on a flute. And as silly as it sounds, I said, well, I don't remember things very well like that. Can you, you know, give me a clue how to remember it? And he said, the key of A. I said, oh, now I can remember that. And so it's playing this tune on a flute. And I said, what is this for, this tune? And he said, play it on the day of the new sun. You will know. So at that time, of course, I told Dennis Lightning this, and he said, yes, the grandfathers have talked about that. And I said, talked about what? You know, so again, discussions, and sometimes they're very long discussions, and there's a language, you know, a barrier too. But he had said that in 2024 would be the day of the new sun. So, of course, I'm not a whole number of other things happened at that time, but you know, I'm not really sure what that means. And so, you know, that's a lot of years ago now, folks. So I was saying to a friend of mine a few months ago who is also indigenous in Alberta, and I was telling her, but I said, you know, I'm remembering this more and more now, you know, about this dream, playing the flute, the day of the new sun, and you know, Dennis Lightning saying the grandfathers, when they go in the lodges, would tell them, you know, that time is coming and a big time of change. So, of course, she's a Google freak. She gets online and she said, you know, that there is a day of the new sun in 2024. I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. She goes, yeah, April 8th, huge eclipse called Day of the New Sun. And I think it's NASA wrote about it, April 8th, 2019, five-year countdown to the big eclipse, April 8th, 2024. Like, this blew my mind. I mean, what are the odds? You know, it's like, okay. So there's some big shift in this, in the consciousness and in this eclipse called Day of the New Sun that I knew about. How many years ago that we would use those exact terms. And again, the spirits that would teach me this in a dream and so on. And it's also a time where people who are pipe carriers will raise their pipes. There's a lot of things that went on at that time told for us to do that we would know the day, and the day of the new sun, where there's this rise of consciousness. And even talking about it now kind of gives me chills. So we're in 2021. Three-year countdown now, and I'm again. If it wasn't for Google, we would not know that there is the day of the new sun.
If it wasn't for Google, we would not know a lot of things that we seem to instantaneously know now. Or,
and everybody, please remember that was long before Google that this happened. So I think that those things are prophetic in a way, but. You know, again, you know, we'll see how it unfolds. So what does that mean to me when I have that? It adds to my consciousness and being open-minded, but not to hurry things, not to read stuff into it that's not true. You know, it's me to observe and remain open. So what does a prophetic dream mean, except that it tells us, number one, we're open to all the other layers of life and other levels of the cosmic, and that we are tuned in that way. And a lot of things, though, are out of our control. You know, we just know when we're called into action. There are those dreams, too, that tell you you're called into action. So they're rare, I think. Go ahead, Michael. You were going to say something, and I was babbling.
Oh, no, I appreciate you going on and you're creating content. It prevents me from saying things or putting my foot in my mouth, so no, many things go around. I was just, you know, thinking about how I would think that, you know, one of the only true things, well, I won't say that. I've never really studied this work in great detail, only a cursory amount in psychology in college, but Sigmund Freud, many of his philosophies have been, you know, surpassed or, you know, built upon or outright discredited. But one of the things that he did say is sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. And that is true. And I think it's like you said at the outset, Dr. Hunter, sometimes you have to be careful. And and it's hard to know because we have dreams for many different purposes. You know, I think about it in a real, you know, more physical sense when it comes to dreaming. It's interesting how we take the sensory stimuli processes in our brain, and it a lot of times while we're sleeping, it is a way of, as we dream, it's a way of storing information. And I think that there are a lot of processes that go on that we're simply not aware of, including while we're asleep, including some of the types of dreams that we have. So it kind of brings up an interesting question. Given that we do dream every night, it's part of our natural rhythm, it's part of how we store and process information, what is it that really causes a dream to stand out? Why is it that you can remember certain dreams with such utter clarity and others that you can't? It's a fascinating idea.
Well, I mean, we're always dreaming, but you're right. That's a good question. Why is it that some really stand out? And I think that, yeah, there probably could be a lot of psychological explanations, but I'm going to go with the one that says the ones that need to be most heard and remembered stick with us. I think dreams, honestly, because I'm old and, you know, I've been studying metaphysics my entire life, and I've watched people and everything changing, and we have, you know, 8 billion people on the planet, and the energy and the density. So I think it's very different now to interpret dreams when prior to the internet and all the radiation of cell phones and all the other stuff was different back in the day, when there was a different clarity.
Yeah.
In Indian country, I was told that there was a time when you could hear the drums from one side of the earth to the other. The air was so clear. And what they meant by that really was the telepathy and that psychic connection. You know, and what comes to mind so much, some of my greatest teachers in Indian country, as for instance, going back to when the white man, the European, came to North America, they, for survival, a lot of them relied on their dreams. And even children in indigenous communities, because of their innocence, they would be revered for their dreams. So if you'd have a dream about what was coming, that was the warning dreams, right? Mm-hmm. The, where to go and how to do this. So there's a lot of documents, actually, if people want to research, that you know, certain people stand out more than others for having those abilities and those gifts. So I think things have changed a lot in our energy and how we're connected to the universe. I know that was a long-winded explanation, but warning dreams, when we get into warning dreams, I think that, again, I think they can be both prophetic and to foretell of something that is troublesome and to be protective.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's kind of where that reference is. I think a lot of us are having dreams now because we're really just polluted. And I think it's really hard to decipher. We don't have straight thinking anymore. I call it, people are in cul-de-sacs of thinking, you know, passive-aggressive behavior. No, they don't think in straight lines. So I think that we end up telling ourselves things that go in circles instead of just a straight line, you know, A, B, C, D.
Right.
So when you think, when you think straight, you know, cause and effect, action, reaction, 1, 2, 3, 4, as opposed to, well, let's be nice, and let's do this, and if I do that, and we're so busy navigating around things that are not straight lines anymore, you know, that we don't know ourselves as well as we could, you know, when we think we're in a straight line, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. I mean, we're talking about circular logic. We're talking about bubbles of information mm-hmm. that people exist in. And, you know, it is increasingly difficult to get outside of our bubble. And it's a lot of times unintentional, you know, but we, it's so easy to gravitate towards what fits your narrative. And, you know, I think, you know, often dreams are meant to challenge us. And they're meant to, you know, move things forward to push us in maybe different directions. It's been said that dreams that they are the unconscious... Who was it that said this? Was it Carl Jung? It said that dreams are the unconscious mind speaking to the conscious mind?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is...
You know, another interesting prophetic dream just popped into my head, if I may. It was back in the mid-80s. We still had telephones with those dial things, you know. I don't think I had a touch tone phone
a rotary?
At that time either, you know. So keep in context here of the time it was that I had had a dream that was so clear that from the North Country, from where I was living at the time, from the North Country, I was walking in this field and people were running everywhere, headed south, trying to get away from, you know, there had been this huge fire and explosion, all this horrible things that were happening. And I said, oh my, I have to call somebody. I have to call somebody. And I went to a payphone and I couldn't use the payphone, and it said on there, use your card. So I asked somebody, I don't know what that means, use your card. And they said, well, you have to have a card now. You know that. No, I don't know that. I said, where do I put my quarter? You know, and there was no place to put a quarter. It's just here you have to use a card. Mm-hmm. And so I had no frame of reference for that at all, except it really struck. And, of course, I saw a number of other things in the stream. And at about that same time, I'd had a vision of being old. And then I'd seen myself sitting at a desk. And there was this little flat kind of object on the desk. There was no typewriter, which really confused me. I've always had a typewriter. But there was also like these, what looks, at that time I had no reference for it, but now I would know it's like CD backs or different books that would be like CDs all in this little library on the shelf. And it was all about the future and what that future would look like. And I had no frame of reference for it. And as time has gone on, of course, there were huge, horrible fires a few years ago in Fort McMurray, North Country. Mm-hmm. Horrible things. People fleeing. I went, oh, that's my dream. And there are no payphones anymore, unless right. you have a card. You see? And so I think that there was a link in there for the timing of when it would happen. But, oh, wow, how many years later? Like 30 years later. The other thing, of course, is now we have computers, so me being older and getting older and, you know,
no.
having CDs on a long wall.
A what? I think vinyl are more common than CDs these days.
DVDs, you know, and other boxes, whatever, all those things now. It's interesting that having those moments of seeing a future... And when now I look back and I think it's entirely possible for those like Nostradamus, you know, or, you know, some of the other great, you know, prophets to have seen the future or snips of the future. Edgar Cayce was notorious for his dreams and his prophetic dreams. And many
Edgar
of which,
Cayce, you say?
Edgar Cayce, sorry. So there are those who... So I'm not even close to that bracket, trust me. But I have had enough experience with dreams to say, wow, I don't know if I'd want to know any more than I do. Do you know?
Right. Like, I mean, well, ignorance is bliss, truly. And who wants to know... I mean, would you truly want to know the... time and details of your own demise?
Oh, I don't mind. No, I'm Viking. You know, the day of birth and death is marked. So, yeah. You know, and now, of course, we're buying time with medications and surgeries and all kinds of stuff. So who knows?
The thing is, it might be marked, but I have procrastinated on literally everything in my life. I'm pretty sure I'm going to procrastinate on that, too. I'm going to put it off for a while.
But, yeah, I agree.
But, you know, I think it's interesting when we talk about prophetic dreams, a lot of it is open to interpretation. And yeah. I think a lot of it is... It comes in different ways, too, because you might be given more of an emotional message, maybe, of something coming down the road, maybe an instinctive message. You get this idea, this essence of something that's without language that's kind of put into your mind, and your mind tries to process it. A lot of times it uses people and situations that you're familiar with to try to tell a story of what maybe might be coming up. But of course, you know, a lot of things are clear in hindsight, just like a lot of, you know, I've always been mixed on Nostradamus with things because a lot of it can be fit to language in, you know, a certain vague way. Yeah. But there's been very interesting things, and I've always been fascinated with the concept. You could also make the argument that when somebody intuits something, an impression of the future is always in flux. Is it but one possible future? Is that future for a different reality? We know that time and space work in far more complex ways that we can understand, that the past, present, and future are not always going to be the seamless linear timeline that we know it to be in our perspective. We're getting to the point where we understand that it's much more complex than that, that it's much more intricate, and therefore when we have these different prophetic dreams, these different scenes that come to certain people, and it's been said before by many others, I'm sure, but it could just be a possible future, a possible thing of happening. Everybody's seen Avengers. I think Dr. Strange looked at 14 million different possible outcomes.
Well, you know, Dr. Stephen is saying right now in the chat, it's my understanding that the emerging now is the result of merged probabilities of the psi function. And such a view would allow for many possibilities that emerge into the now. The trick is to locate the strongest possible psi function to be informed of what will happen. Sure. I mean, I get that. I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying, but there's a trick to it, I think, you know, into what reality. Then there's the Mandela effect, and, you know. And some doctors are saying that's just a, you know, a preferred memory, blah, blah. And so there's all kinds of possibilities and how we do that. You know, there's some talk in the chat, too, that is really important to bring up. And I'm so glad that all of you are talking about it, is how medications affect, as Audra says, many of them block or inhibit certain receptors of the brain, affecting brain processes, and they are the first to admit they don't always know how medications work, just that they do, which means what else are they affecting? I mean, they meaning medical associations. Mm-hmm.
I will say this from personal experience. If you are taking something that is, well, not inhibiting dreams, but perhaps inhibiting your ability to remember them, it is strange when you stop or transition off something. It's strange how vivid and, you know, intense the dreams can be when they come back. It's almost interesting. It's almost like, hey, this is like a theme park. This is what dreaming's like, where you do it more often. I've only had one dream where I realized I was dreaming and stayed in the dream. We've had some people sharing a couple of stories of their dreams, and I think we've all had that. I've only had one Hollywood-esque dream where I actually screamed in the dream, I was yelling for help from a house. My family was all in a house. I was trapped in a car, and I was trying to, and this was when I was a teenager or something, but it was a very strange dream that I remember vividly to this day. There's a couple of those. And this one was, has nothing to do with a prophecy, but yeah, I'll go off on this tangent nonetheless. It was a dream where I was walking my dog down, you know, some different just neighborhood streets at night, and there was this car that began to go, you know, in a perpendicular fashion to me. I would see it go this way, and then I would see it kind of as if it was kind of circling the block and things and started to follow me. So I transitioned from my neighborhood in Florida to my grandparents' home, where I'm originally from in South Dakota. And then I'm going up to the house, and the car is coming, so I, for some reason, instead of, you know, going towards the house and running there, I decide to get in the car with my dog to take shelter there. But my entire family is in the house, it's lit up, I know they're all in there, it's warm and cozy and everything's good, and I'm trying to get their attention because this car pulls in next to me and I can't open the door, and the other door won't open. So I'm yelling in the dream, and I do it so loudly that it wakes me up. But I know that Wendy had related a very interesting dream where something similar had happened in the chat. Mm. And it's just such an important thing to remember, that the mind and the physical both interact. That, you know, the abstract, the thought, becomes the reality, becomes physical sound, becomes the physical act. And dreams are just a fascinating part of human awareness and the human experience.
Well, I will add to a couple of comments, if I may, about medication inhibiting dreams. Yes, there are many that inhibit dream time. It affects sleep. It affects the brain. But I want to put a disclaimer in here, folks. If it's really about a food source that you need for, you know, biological, organic, or biochemical reasons, take the medication, because that's a food source for you. That's what you require. If it means you're not dreaming, trust me, you're out there somewhere. Just means you're not remembering. So it's just how your brain is processing to recall in the consciousness. And I would say no big deal. So don't for one second anybody think that we're saying you shouldn't take medication, you know, so you can dream. I don't want anybody to get that idea. So I had to say that and throw it in.
Yeah. You know, it's the human consciousness is a complicated layered thing. You know, they find that we're not only dreaming in rapid eye movement sleep, REM sleep, we're dreaming in other phases of sleep as well. It's just less likely to be remembered. So, and, you know, if it's something that, again, in my past experience, if it's an issue, there might be something comparable that would do the same job without having a potential side effect, because every individual acts to both, you know, well, reacts to everything differently, be it, you know, modern medicine or, you know, traditional remedies or anything. Everybody reacts a little differently. Everybody is unique in how they process things and how they process chemicals. And if it's something to do with, you know, the mind, it's even more complex still.
Yeah.
But
so,
this has been a fascinating topic tonight. Oh, go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
It is. No, I was just going to say, anybody who wants cards tonight, start putting your name in the chat, please. And we'll carry on with the next segment of our program. Another fun part. I want to... Audra's saying she calls the Mandela effect the Popdela effect because it's more about pop culture. People remember the pop culture reference instead of the real event. I'm just going to say I'm not so sure about that, Audra. And the only reason I'm saying this is being a borderline dyslexic, when I was young going to school, I really struggled. So for me to remember anything, I really had to repeat and memorize things. And part of that was about the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I went to church, Bible camps, you name it. So there's all these passages in the Bible that are committed to my brainwaves, in my hard drive, so to speak. And a few years ago, with the Mandela effect, and they're talking about, you know, all these different things, I'm going, I don't remember that, and I remember it this way and that way. Okay, I'm with the program. But when I started looking up the biblical references, and I went to the Bibles that I have a little collection of Bibles, and I used to really like studying religions, and I went, whoa, somebody changed all my Bibles. So what's committed to the hard drive of my brain from childhood to whenever, and the last time I read those Bibles, probably 20 years ago, and somewhere it changed. So I don't know what's going on, you know, conversions of space-time something, but something's happening. So I don't think it's just about the pop culture reference. I think maybe some of it is. I don't disagree with you there. But the Bible stuff, that's got me bit. So I'm just saying.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, that's where you get your strong sense of integrity and ethics. So, you know, good for all of us.
The Bible? Don't say that, Michael.
No, I'm a firm believer that morality comes naturally to human beings. It's been proven that there's a base level of morality that is seen in children that are supposedly too young to be able to pick up on those kind of social cues. You know, taking away something from someone, causing another, you know, creature distress, you know, things like that. So I truly believe that morality and ethics do come from a sense of awareness, a sense of reality and knowing your place and knowing that your actions have effects on others and having empathy more than any other source. But I digress.
That's a good thought, Michael. I remember I was 5 years old and I looked at my family and I said, life is not supposed to be this way. You're not supposed to act like this. This is not the way the world is supposed to be. It's not how we remember it. And, I got in a lot of trouble.
I felt like that so many times. And, you know, I've also thought these dreams that you seem so real and you think might happen. Again, we talked about alternate futures. Maybe just what the other you is doing in a different reality.
Could very well be.
Was it you and I on this broadcast where we were talking about the concept of deja vu, or maybe it was Dr. Stephen in chat talking about deja vu when two different parallel dimensions merge into a single moment? I think that was in chat. I believe it was Dr. Stephen, and I think that was, last week or the week prior. But, you know, again, this has been an interesting topic, and I think we're going to be pulling cards soon from the Inner Oracle deck at ICMH, and we're also going to be pulling a tarot card.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get into that, I think that we're going to kind of play off this next week, kind of continuing this trend of, you know, perception and how we perceive reality and going into time warps and memory.
Ooh, that's awesome.
So I think
great discussion.
That's going to be where we, you know, lead into next week. So looking forward to having you back.
Time warps and reality.
But tonight has gone into a time warp. We're already getting towards the end. We have yet to pull cards, so I will start.
Okay, let's start with Jamil.
Jinx. Jamil, we have number 27, Gains, for you.
All right.
Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth or of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Five of Clubs is in support of that for you, Jamil. I would say that whatever kinds of troubles that you may have had, it's come to an end. At least it's trailing off into a better day. So in support of what Michael's saying about gains, keep it in mind and start to relax a little bit, because I feel like you're into a bit of a celebration time. Things are going to they're improving. Might be slow, but it's good. So take heed. It's good. We have Sherry next, Michael.
Sorry about that. I was muted. All right, Sherry. I have number 6, Boundaries.
All right.
Let's see. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me? Such a good question to ask. Good card.
Yeah. You know, Sherry, you got the 5 of Diamonds in support of boundaries. And with that saying, it's a bit of a message to be able to be willing to let some things or people behind. And even if they're kind of gnawing at you or following you or, you know, that's okay. But set those rules up, those boundaries, and still keep moving forward. Very often we hold ourselves back because we want to take people with us to, you know, to a better place. And not only are you setting a good example for work ethic and energy, but you might be Hindering yourself a little bit by worrying about other people when they've got their own journey too. I'm not saying don't help people. I'm just saying don't hinder yourself by giving away energy that you can't afford to give away. So that's just the message there. I hope that makes sense. I do want to say thanks, Jamil, for the feedback there. He says it sounds like the troubles are ending. He's been having a bit of a hard time lately. I totally want to support you in that energy, because I feel that strongly for you. Things are going to shift around. That's good.
I like hearing that. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
We have Michael Garcia, I think, with us tonight. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Glad to have you. And I have, let's see, number 22, Think for Yourself.
All right.
Ah, they're all good cards, but that one, I don't think we pulled in a little bit. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Michael, the success is assured. Thinking for yourself, lead your own way. Ace of Wands, which is the Ace of Clubs, is... I do use regular cards as well as tarot. That's why I like to translate for people. So basically, it is an achievement moment. So thinking for yourself, it's what you achieve by your own thinking and your own ideas, and that a certain amount of autonomy. I know we work together with people. We are in this together with other people. But it's being able to still be who you are and move forward. So thinking for yourself, your ideas are right on, I want to say right in line. So speak on your own behalf and put that out there. There's some great achievements coming. Hope that makes sense.
Okay. Very good.
Sherry is next, Michael.
I believe we have Kim next, right?
Oh, Kim is Sherry's daughter, I believe.
Yeah, that's.
But I think Sherry wanted a card too. So, no.
Did
what are we doing?
Didn't we pull boundaries for Sherry? Am I incorrect on that?
Oh, sorry, you're right. I wrote them down twice.
I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going crazy. I was just making a joke about not being part of this timeline, and I thought I might have skipped realities again. Gosh darn it.
No, it's me who skipped the reality, because I am going down. We're trying to go through this quickly, get it going, and I went, ooh, that was completely dumb. Sorry, Sherry.
No worries. But
I have dumb moments that has nothing to do with age.
You know, I just think to myself, when I hear comments like that, I think about me, my memory, my absent-mindedness now. I think, God forbid, what am I going to be 30 years from now? But
don't
anyway.
Scare me.
All right, so Kim, I have
happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And we have a wild card.
Oh.
Wild card number 4, Unknowable. One of my favorites.
Mm.
There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind, and you change your world. Change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leanings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, you got the Two of Diamonds in support of that, Kim. I like it. That's staying balanced, okay? That is staying grounded and balanced. So even as you walk into the unknowable, it's like you got this. You're secure in yourself and you're taking the next step. So it's just keep moving forward. So now that it's your birthday, it's something I want you to do before you go to bed tonight. Project for what you want the next year to look like for you. Something that you're, you know, wanting for yourself. Good time to do that. The other thing in cycles, the first 52 days after the birthday is the best time to promote yourself. You'll find that your energy is better. The last 52 might have been a little rough, but the next 52 are much better, smoother sailing. So take advantage of this time. It's unknowable. Remember that. you got this balanced. So, you know, any fears that you might have had, toss them out and move forward. And again, you know, it's you'll find that you, people will receive you much better than they have for maybe the last couple of months. So you're good. Happy birthday.
All right. Good start.
So Wendy, who's our resident cook, who did a killer supper for her son tonight for his birthday.
Oh, I can only imagine. I didn't catch that in chat, but a resident, the resident chef, and our resident card keeper. So we're happy to pull a card for Wendy tonight, and let's see what I have from the middle of the... Oh, wow, another wild card. This actually might be my absolute favorite card. Wild card number one, Paradox, has shown again. All right, Wendy. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keeping in mind the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Well, Wendy, you got the Six of Spades. I like it, although some people say, ooh, you know, Six of Spades, Six of Swords. I like that card. Like, it might feel a little rough today. It might feel like you got a few burdens, a lot on your plate, no pun intended for the cooking, but the destination is in sight, meaning you're getting to where you need to go, you're doing the work. Just remember to see things maybe from different points of view. What might seem kind of stressful and crappy, it doesn't go in your favor. Say, well, it's a good thing that I wasn't involved in that or didn't do that, or I'm glad I, you know, did it that way. And you'll see that things can be a paradox. So keep going, Wendy. I know where you're living. There's a lot of people without power. And it's been a little stressful, but it won't be long now. So things are coming around. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's part of the cycle of life. But all right, and I believe that our next card is for Andrew. And, of course, we have time to pull a card for Andrew. Wendy, you don't even have to ask. And am I correct? Is it Andrew's birthday today, or has it been recently?
I think it's Andrew's.
Yep.
He's
so
25 today.
Happy birthday to Andrew. Going all around. All right, and Andrew, I have number two, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, which is not to be confused with them-esteem. Self-worth based on external expectations and validation, or what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you can give yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Andrew, I hope you're listening, because you got the King of Spades here, King of Swords, and I like that. Some people think that he's a little rough around the edges, maybe, but there's a really good side of the King of Spades. So knowing the difference between esteem and self-certainty versus confidence and maybe a slice of ego in there, you've got some really important things to do with your life and some really important contributions to make. Now, I'm not saying you have to go get rich and famous. That's not what I'm saying. It's that
you don't have to not.
Yeah, well, it could be. I mean, I'm just saying that... one thing I'll say for you, Andrew, if you have your spirituality and your sense of self intact, then that's where you always remain grounded. It's when you don't, when you kind of lose your sense of faith is when you kind of get lost and you might overcompensate a little bit. However, I think you've got it now. Something has shifted in you in these past few months. That's my sense. And again, tomorrow, Wendy's clarifying, it's tomorrow's your birthday. Tomorrow, sit down, project what you want for the coming year, and be comfortable with who you are and what you can do, your skills, knowing that you can move forward in a really good way. Because I think you're a natural-born leader. That's what I think. you're a good supervisor, manager. You just have to believe in yourself.
I like it.
Yeah.
Very positive message. Great way to round out this year and start the next. All right.
Yeah, indeed. We have and Rick next, Michael, I think.
We do. We all do. Right. And I have past, present, and future, number 4.
Oh, I like it.
All right. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Rick, this has to do with family, relationships, family, people you're close to. I'm seeing the Ten of Hearts here, the Ten of Cups for those in tarot language. And really, it's think of a rainbow. I mean, that's what the Rider-Waite deck will depict in that one. And it's about be here now in the appreciation of family or your extended family, your very close people, you know. So this might be a regrouping time for you and, you know, weeding out the negative and, you know, finding what's substantial and what's valued about the people close to your life. And so there's just this, what I want to say is good for you. I don't know if you're reconnecting with somebody in the family who you haven't been with for a while or haven't talked to in a while, but this is reconnection. And I really like that for you. It feels good. So the past, present, future, being in the now and understanding the now, connecting with family. Hope that makes sense to you.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Well, I know we have other people that want cards. I just don't think we have the time.
No, we don't have time, Audra.
Well, I don't know. I'm starting to feel guilty now, so I guess we'll pull one last card for Audra. And Audra, I have number 16, Continuity of Life.
I like it.
That's a good card. I don't think we pulled that one for a little bit either.
No.
All right, number 16. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity in the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter can begin.
Audra, I think even since last week, there's an energy shift here. You got the Queen of Clubs, which is not entirely surprising to me, but I feel in your... See, understand people, I don't remember readings. I often don't remember people, but I always remember frequencies. It's a strange thing with me. The Queen of Clubs is the overseer. She's the one who's insightful. She can make decisions that are not just good for today, but for longer term. She has that ability to be perceptive and good with people. Yes, it's a bit of the mother. There's no question about that. But the continuity of life. So you're making this shift where... making decisions with a longer-term plan now. Okay, where you've been the last year or two, okay, so now you're here. So your mind is changing a little bit, and I think your intuition is opening up, and there's an insightfulness. So I think that, you know, she's saying I feel special after these cards. You are special, Audra. Gee. So it's... There's something that's, and I think even in the next few days you'll notice it. So, yeah, feedback later is great. But I just want to say I think you're rocking it. So that's
what
a
I like
great
to hear.
Affirmation. Great affirmation for you.
All right, I love to hear it.
You know, we've had a lot of new names. I know that was mentioned. Some new names in our chat room, and new visitor, so I really appreciate you joining us, and of course for all the familiars that come. And I see Cecilia's name in there, Ronaldo, and you know, others, and Dr. Steven. So thank you all very much for joining us tonight.
It makes it a dynamic. Excuse me. Apparently, I am starting to get the. Well, don't want to start joking about sickness and the pandemic. Nope. You know, throw some salt all over my shoulder. Knock on wood. I'm all good.
I know. And, cough and you say not COVID.
but anyway, it really does. You know. Make it a whole different kind of experience when we can have you join us. It's a dynamic experience, but we still appreciate those that can catch up with us on the archives, and we hope that every now and again you can jump into our live recording and our live chat. It's a fun time, and you know, we get to know each one another. We miss one another when we don't see you every week, and it really has become, you know, a bit of a community that we hope to grow on. So as we kind of round out tonight, it has been a fascinating discussion. Thank you, Dr. Hunter, as so often for adding your wisdom and insight, because really being the, I don't know what the word is, for not being terribly intuitive, I wouldn't have as much to bring. So thank you for your experiences on that. It has been fascinating, and I'm really looking forward to next week where we can kind of sink our teeth into this concept and perception of time. How you can just get into a time warp, like, you know, tonight. Yeah, we blew past our time a little bit there talking, but you get into a good topic, you get into a good flow, your entire perception of the reality around you changes, if just so slightly. So it's going to be a fascinating talk. I'm looking forward to talking with you, Dr. Hunter, and having everybody join us next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody.
Well, until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.